Welcome back to the Hoops Temple podcast. Y'all know me, Nathan Schwartz. Join me from Sacramento, Aaron Schroeder.
Good to be here. Good to see you guys.
And joining us from New Zealand, Dylan Williamson.
What it do, baby?
Guys, we start the podcast off on a sad note, discussing Bill Russell. Then we move on to discussing a sad group of players. Not that sad. You know, 61 through 90. But yeah.
Some of your rankings made me sad.
I think that's fair. We're all, you know, we started sad. We got high. We got sad. We got high. It's ups and downs. Hope you like it.
I did 110.
Man, I've got 113 in my like still in consideration, but I didn't rank between 85 and 113.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll rank them. Then I'll yell at you. It's all right.
Bill Russell passed away. I just gotta say, like, of all the celebrities I've ever wanted to meet, like, I think at the time of his passing, Bill Russell is one of the top two celebrities I've ever wanted to meet. My list right now is him and then Kareem, or was him and then Kareem, just because I want to meet them and I want to hear stories. And like the way Bill Simmons has talked about meeting Bill Russell and him like just being sharp as a tack and remembering games and being able to like, you know, recite like plays that were coming up from games that happened like three decades earlier. I would have loved to spend like an afternoon with him watching film or talking about the game. And like, I know that's not realistic and like never would happen. But if I won the lottery, I would pay a not small substantial amount of money to like just be like, hey, Bill, whatever charity you want, whatever you want. You want to keep the money yourself? Boom. And now I'm focused on Kareem. He does cameos for like $750. And part of me is like, all right.
Cameo is 30 seconds. I want half an hour. So if we multiply 750 by 60.
Yeah. Yeah, how do I talk my wife into that credit card bill?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be priceless, really. Just any time with him. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate. He lived for a really long time, but one of the greatest people the NBA has ever had.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite stories, I did one on TikTok, but I think my second favorite one is that he was like a major financier for a lot of MLK's stuff. And I forget if it was the I Have a Dream speech or if it was one of the other ones, but he like was one of the major financiers for it and funded a lot of the donations to organize and cover everything. And MLK was like, we want you on stage with us as like a prominent figure. And Bill was like, no, I play basketball. I'll stand like next to the stage and like be up front. But like, this is for you guys who are like our vocal, like thought leaders. And it was just like, you know, he had paid the money to be there. He had like done everything. He had been a prominent figure. And even still, he was like humble enough that he's like, no, my place is over here, you know, supporting, but like not being up there. And I've always loved that.
It's kind of a good comparison, in a sense, to how he played basketball. Just kind of the ultimate leader while being completely selfless.
Dylan, any Bill Russell state?
I don't know. I just suppose he's like one of the guys who only get greater when you consider like what they've done off the court. Mm-hmm. And even though he was like, you know, like Aaron said, one of the four, five at worst, you know, best players of all time and the greatest winner in the history of the game, you know, also a legend off the court, is hard to do. And just taking in the totality of who he was as a person and as a winner, is pretty incredible.
I mean, if NBA stars are upset about how fans yell at them at the games now,
oh my
Russell
God.
Gets that for his whole career 1,000 times worse from really just the Boston sucks for that. And just that is just really a blemish on them that they have like one of the greatest players ever and they treat him like shit the whole time. Russell never even likes Boston as a city. He lives in Seattle. It's pretty much as soon as he retires.
And not to be too pile on Boston, a place that as a Lakers fan I hate, can't believe I'm going to come to their defense, but like there's talk of him in college going and playing in segregated arenas and playing where he couldn't stay with his team, and that continued on the NBA, and like his dominance desegregated a lot of areas and forced sports teams to like treat black players with respect. And like, it's amazing. Did you know that he wasn't inducted into the Hall of Fame, or that he didn't come to his Hall of Fame induction?
Was it his jersey? Oh yeah, he didn't come because it was he didn't want Chuck Cooper. He wanted Chuck Cooper to be with him.
Yeah, he didn't show up to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and then he didn't go to his jersey retirement in Boston. But the Hall of Fame was, yeah, Chuck Cooper. He wanted the league to respect black pioneers first. And so he did not actually come to receive any awards until, I want to say it was 2017, when they had inducted Chuck Cooper. It might have been 2019, but I just, you know, the man is above reproach, and the NBA lost a true legend.
Just a little side note about the racism in Boston. He was actually drafted by the Hawks. And had he not been traded for, he had said he would never have played basketball.
Yeah.
Just because I was in St. Louis at the time.
Wild to think that we came that close to missing Bill.
Mm. Yeah, really. The Celtics are so ahead of their time with race relations, really. And then they're rewarded with titles.
There's a lot of really interesting things about the Celtics owner. I did like a whole study on the BAA years. And we can save this for another pod. But there was the Providence... was it Providence Steamrollers?
Yeah. Or
the Rhode Island Steamrollers?
I think Providence.
And they collapsed, but instead of collapsing, the Celtics owner was like, hey, what if we just merge teams? Like, I'll give you some ownership. I'll buy out your debts, give you ownership, because we want to keep the league. And that actually like filtered them in some good players that were, you know, eventual trade chips that helped them land their eventual dynasty. He wanted to see the league succeed so hard that he made like a lot of moves. And Red actually had to like talk to him, and he's like, no, you can't give up good players. We want to win. I don't care that the league might fail. And it was like this push and pull between the owner of like, I want basketball to succeed. I love this sport. And Red like maniacally, I have to win. I want to say it's Walter Brown, but the early NBA owners are a really interesting group to look into, because this was totally just like an idea of, hey, how do we fill seats in these arenas on nights where hockey isn't being played?
It's come a long way.
Yeah. So from one of the greatest winners of all time to the 61st greatest player of next season, how are we feeling about Julius Randle?
Dylan just exploded.
I shot him a TikTok of a guy being like, listen, I'm not saying they're the same level. I'm not saying they're the same level.
I remember this, yeah.
But Julius Randle and prime Dirk Nowitzki, like two seasons ago, Julius and prime Dirk, it's close, right?
I thought it was Garnett. That was just,
was it Garnett?
It was Garnett. Yeah, that's even worse. That's worse.
Yeah, he put up one box stat line from Randall's fluke season, and then they're like, I'm just saying, it's the same as KG. It's like, no, come on.
Of the last podcast, I think the most contested guy we had was Jalen Brunson. I think that's a pretty good 61st spot. He didn't make it. That was really weird. I think he was practically in there. I think we took him out.
Nah, he's in there. I've got him highlighted on my sheet. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I have him twice. That would make sense. He's 58th. My bad. Well, now we got nobody. Julius Randle's up next.
So I think the way to run this and to be as least contentious as possible is we all nominate one name. We debate those three players, just those three players. Whatever one gets selected, that player can then nominate a new name. Then we, you know, debate those three. We vote and keep doing as such until, you know, guys get selected to limit the scope.
All right. Agreed? Agreed. Why don't you start us off with a name?
I already did. Actually, no. Oh my God. Just kidding. Kyle Lowry is my name.
He's my name too. So why don't we just lock him right in?
Sounds good.
And move on.
See how agreeable this is? Dylan, real quick before we lock him in, let's just say why.
Yeah. Had sort of a rough playoffs, but proven winner. Like he had scores efficiently, can space the floor, can run pick and roll off the top of my head, 60% true shooting and like 7.5 assists. Tough defender. Yes, didn't play well in the playoffs, but has a game that translates well in the postseason. Just a, you know, he's a guy that can run your offense in the regular season to be a really good team and can be on the floor in, you know, the last 2 minutes of a game seven. And you'd feel comfortable with him there.
Every single team would want him, no matter who they have. Every single team would want him.
very, very switchable. Like, you know, there's not a bad situation. The low post brought up some interesting numbers about him, Jimmy Butler pick and rolls. He was like top five as the ball handler and a him Butler pick and roll, and then was top 15 as the screener. I might have that flip flopped. It was a really low sample size. Like, Zach Lowe had to expand it out to minimum of 100 pick and rolls, and it was like 400 different two man combinations. But I don't know. I listened to that again. And I was like, okay, all right, I can move him up.
And he's like a smart player, and he's playing at a probably a reduced role. Like, if you wanted him to do more, he probably could score a bit more, like he's done it before. But he's a guy that can fit in and just do what's needed to be a really good team.
It makes me feel much better going from Bill Russell to Kyle Lowry than Bill Russell to...
into Julius Randle. into the modern day KG.
What's the difference? You can't show me. The numbers are the same.
All right. So 62. Aaron, give us your nomination since we both used one.
How about Tyler Hero?
Dylan, nomination?
Go similar. Tyrese Maxey.
All right, I'm going to be serious. I actually am doing Julius Randle.
I think I'm in on Randle. I think it's just time.
Randle's tough because, like, if we were doing this an entire year ago, like, he'd be higher. But, like, we can't ignore the fact that he just came off, like, a really terrible season. Like, this guy, let me find it, like, 50.9% true shooting. Like, he had one good year because he hit all of his threes randomly. And then went back to hitting his threes at his normal rate and then was terrible.
I get it.
You just got to figure out which one of those is anomalous. And I'm more, you know, I find it easier to believe that he got hot one season and shot above his normal rate than, like, he drastically improved and then had a really cold year. I just think that the real Julius Randle is somewhere in between these last two seasons. And there are players that are better than that. Factoring in how he's also kind of hard to fit around. He really slipped on defense as well last year.
You know, I know I put him here, but anytime you talk about Randle, I don't have ways to defend him.
I mean the argument for him is just that, like, last year was a down year, but the year before that he was ridiculous, and he did fit in on a really good defensive team, and he scored 24 points and got 10 rebounds and 6 assists. Like, that's a ridiculous player while fitting in on a really good defense. But I just think that was anomalous, and he's the real player is somewhere between these last two seasons, which is, like, you know, a decent third option.
Way to sell your player, Nate. Way to really, really crush it. You just gave up on him.
No, I mean,
I'll defend Randle really quickly. I think his great season was fantastic. He's probably like top 30-ish in that year, maybe even higher than that, but last year he's horrible. He's just really one of the worst players, and he has a high usage rate, and he's just bricking shots. He's just not effective. I think having Jalen Brunson is going to change things for him. It kind of changed the looks he gets, and I think a bounce back year to get him as, like, the 62nd best player, I think, is totally reasonable.
And I do just want to provide a little context. Last year we ranked Randle 40th. ESPN had him 42nd. Sports Illustrated had him 41st. The Washington Post had him 29th.
Oh, Gulliver loved him some Julius Randle.
Oh my gosh. Ben, friend of the pod.
Oh, friend of the pod.
Come on. I see the workload, and, like, we're starting to get into guys where, I mean, I don't have Dorian Finney-Smith and Lonzo Ball, like, too much further back. And so, like, for me, I was kind of rewarding workload. But the thing I keep coming back to is, like, hey, if Westbrook was on the Magic, his workload would still be insane. I'm trying not to talk myself into Westbrook, but the workload part of me wants to put Westbrook in there and wants to put Randle in here. What's your case for Maxey?
He was, like, a really, really efficient scorer last year. Like, 17.5 points per game, 49% from the field, 43% from three, like, a couple rebounds, 4.3 assists, even as, like, the third or fourth option as a ball handler. And he's 21 years old. Like, he's just going to get better, and he's already a ridiculously efficient scorer. He benefits from having some awesome teammates, but, like, this dude is just a beast. Like, around the rim, 65% inside, got the mid-range down as well. Like, he's just a super efficient scorer. It's not, like, a positive defensively, but he's not a massive liability. I think that he could fit in and the role that he's in is like the third option, you know, like a good scorer off ball most of the time, but can give you buckets. Or you could put him on one of these fringe playoff teams and he could be like your one or two option and would do a pretty good job of it. Like, he's just the, like, the dude can score.
That's a great argument. Yeah, well said. We're speechless.
This is why we can't let Dylan speak first, because he argues too well.
He'll sell us on anything.
Aaron, what's your takes on Hero? Why you got Hero over Maxi?
I feel like Hero had if I remember correctly, he was playing close to the most minutes on the Heat, even was coming off the bench. He had a really big offensive responsibility. He's pretty much the only other offensive creator. And while in the playoffs, you know, things happen, I feel like as Lowry and Butler get a little bit older, they might ask him to do more, and I think he can handle it. In the sense, it's kind of the Maxi argument, although I feel like Hero is going to be asked to do more, and I think he can handle it.
Yeah. For comparison, Hero had a 29% usage compared to Maxi's 20%. So, like, he does have a way bigger load when he's out there. And then, obviously, the trade-off is that Maxi was 59 true shooting compared to Hero's 56.
I think we should just get our last number one option off the board. Just crush Randall, and just we'll start talking about guys that are more similar.
All right. I'm agreeing with the nomination just so we don't have to talk about Randall again.
Sounds great.
But I had Maxi next on my list at 63. So I say we go Randall 62, Maxi 63, and move on to 64.
I'm all in.
All right. I'll just highlight my number 97 player, Julius Randall.
Hey, he made top 100 for you this year?
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
All right. Who's your number? Who's next on your list, Dylan? Because you got a guy to go.
I mean, we talked about him last week and I was struggling to convince you guys, but Aaron Gordon is like a guy that's proven he can put up numbers on a bad team, but also really fit into a really good team. Versatile skill set, can play off of a bunch of different players, and is an awesome defender. Like, he, you know, did a really good job on like Kawhi, for example, and can defend some of these bigger wings. That's a valuable skill set, and like very good scalability, as in like you can plug him into any situation and he's going to fit in and contribute to winning basketball, whether that's as, you know, the number two option on a terrible team or as the number three or four option on a real contender.
Dude, I'm all in. He's just, I'm just going to listen to Dylan talk.
That's right. I'll be bringing up KCP in a second, and then you'll have arguments.
Oh, God.
Actually, I didn't have KCP.
I don't have him in my 100. I'm not even sure if I've got him in my 113. Let's see here.
I'm kind of okay with Aaron Gordon. I feel like, especially given what he's going to be for Denver, and not that you couldn't get a more perfect player, but I just what he does next to Jokic is great. He's a good defensive player. He cuts, he has threes, he can kind of get his own shot. It just works. It really does.
My 64th guy, because thankfully we've gone to right in order of my list and I haven't had to make any changes yet, is Anfernee Simons. Mm. And his numbers are near identical to that of Maxi. 17 points, 17.3 for him, 17.5 for Maxi. Just about the same usage, a little bit lower. He's got 40% three-point shooting and just a hair lower true shooting, but he does it at a much higher volume. He's shooting almost
exactly.
Eight.
Way higher volume of three-point shots. That's the one knock against Maxi, is even though like the three-pointers is above 40%, it's on low volume, whereas like Anthony like absolutely jacks them, and a high degree of difficulty as well.
Yeah. So like I was parsing hairs on where to put the two of them, and I ultimately just landed at Maxi is slightly ahead.
I'm okay with Maxi next. No, we did Maxi. Sorry. I'm one step behind. I was like, yeah, he fits in perfectly. He's next. I have him next.
So we got Maxi, we got Hero, Gordon, and the guy I just nominated. Anthony Simons. And is anyone willing to change their vote from their own nomination?
I think I'll take Simons. I think I'm into it.
Yeah, I don't mind Simons. He's in the sort of range.
Yeah.
Four for four, baby. It's good to be the host.
So you get all the players right, and then I just argue for the ones we've already ranked because I don't realize.
Aaron Gordon next?
So replacing Maxi next for me is RJ Barrett, and I could be talked into Gordon over Barrett.
Ooh. I'll take Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, let's put
for all the reasons you said, I think he's going to be really impactful on a really good Nuggets team.
All right. Barrett is homeless on my rankings now, but let me make the case for him. Case is really similar to Randall. Low true shooting, high usage. He's out there a lot. he's kind of showing that he can be a good defensive player. I'm really interested now that he's going to play next to like a fully competent ball handler in Jalen Brunson. I think that might unlock a lot more of his game. Maybe hurts his usage a bit. This might be too high of a ranking, but that is my nomination that I've locked in.
Dylan, are you sure about him over Hero? Sorry. Yeah,
no, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Dylan, who is your rank or your next nomination after Gordon?
Jordan Poole.
Ooh. These are all the same players.
Yeah, just
these are all exactly the same players.
Another guy that can get you buckets and like fit in. 19 points last year, 45 from the field, 36 from three on high volume, and absolutely destroyed the Nuggets in the playoffs. So like not just a regular season player, has proved more than like the other guys around this range who haven't done anything in the playoffs. Like this dude started against the MVP and destroyed him.
The Jordan Poole versus Jokic battle we were all waiting for. Heavyweight fight.
I'll say Tyler Hero has done some stuff in the playoffs. And the man made an NBA Finals. Didn't look too terrible in it the whole time.
I would argue that Hero also had more responsibility on that Heat team, just because the Warriors are loaded with offensive options.
Well, not in the first round. Like Steph was coming off the bench. Poole was the starting point guard. He was the number one offensive option.
Yeah, but Steph Curry was the greatest sixth man ever to play the game. Like, and that's not even like a pejorative thing, like saying, you know, Andre Iguodala, like greatest. No, this is like a legitimate. I'm grabbing his stats now in those non-starts. He comes out with 16, 34, 27, 33. Like, I mean, Curry's playing 36 minutes coming off the bench in that game four. I think calling Poole the starter, I'm going with Hero.
All right, I'll just give you. We said Hero's had good playoff moments too. I'll argue he's had one good series. He played really awesome in the Eastern Conference Finals. Was it the bubble year against the Celtics? And then here are the rest of his playoff series. 14 points on 37% from the field, 9 points on 31% from the field, 13 points on 39%, 15 on 45. So he had one good series that was against the Sixers. And then a massive 9 points per game on 37% from the field and 7% from three against Boston. Could not get on the floor. One of the reasons that they lost the series is they couldn't find enough players who could actually play.
You didn't have to bring up the numbers. We could have just left him in theory. Let's go Jordan Poole. I think Jordan Poole is a good pick here.
I had already typed in.
Take it back.
I'd already typed in
take
Hero.
It back.
But
I did
you brought 7%.
As soon as I hear sub 10, I'm out.
Oh my God.
Let's just do Poole then Hero.
Okay.
Yeah.
The dude still gets buckets.
7%?
How many threes has he taken? How many threes did he take?
Oh my God. And not insignificant enough to make 7%.
He was 1 from 15.
Man.
Made one shot. God.
Kind of off topic. Did you guys remember Joe Harris on the Nets against the Bucks in 2021? And do you guys remember that series? That was the most insane thing I've ever seen. Joe Harris, he could not hit a single three.
Yeah.
That pops my head every once in a while. I was like, man, that really I remember watching that game. And Joe Harris gets like a wide open look at the end before like the KD three-pointer to take the lead, and he misses it. It was unbelievable.
The only thing that like comes to mind like that is when like everyone on the Rockets just couldn't hit threes. It's like, man, these guys are just like this is all mental. These guys are just like crumbling. Like the 27 straight missed threes, it's like you got to make just one of these shots and you're in the finals.
You know that when the crowd, they're like, ah, and because they're touching it, and like he grabbed the ball, and then there's nothing. Yeah. They're like, oh, Lord.
Right. So we just locked in. And Dylan's and Aaron's nominations, I would like to rescind my nomination. So let's introduce three new players to the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. Get us started.
Because this seems to be the range where we're just saying, fuck defense, give me that offense. I would like to introduce Michael Porter Jr. to the conversation.
Really high guy to rank.
I'm going to take it one step further. Defenses doesn't matter at all. I'm going to put Jalen Green up. Dude is such an insane athlete.
This hurts me so much because I had a lot of defensive players right here. But if we're just saying this is where we're putting that third offensive force, this is where we're putting, you know, late stage Glenn Ryder, Isaiah Thomas. It's like, all right, whatever.
I think there could be a month where Jalen Green averages like 30 a night. just an entire month stretch, and you're like, holy shit, like, did you see what Jalen Green did again? I'm not watching Jay Crowder every night. I'm not texting any of you guys like, holy shit, did you see what Jay Crowder did? That was crazy.
Other random off-topic comment. Do you remember when, like, Robert Covington had 50 last year?
Yeah.
He did? I must admit, I don't remember. I was that.
Like 48 or something. It just shows that, like, all these dudes, like, if you give them an opportunity, like, all these dudes can score.
It was, like, in the midst of Embiid having a 50-point game and Jokic having his, like, 48, 20, and, like, 15 night that, like, technically wasn't 15 but was, like, super close. Then it was just, like, Robert Covington, like, 46 or, you know, something.
Yeah, 43 points. 11 three-pointers and three blocks against the Bucks.
You're saying I can still wait for the Jay Crowder breakout season? Tell me his 30 points tonight is coming.
I'm just saying, these dudes can put up buckets if you give them an opportunity.
They can.
God, Clippers win the game 153 to 119.
Jeez.
Although, to be fair,
the Bucks' entire starters were out.
The Bucks played Jason Nwora 40 minutes, Javon Carter 30 minutes, Serge Ibaka 27, Bobby Portis, and Pat Connaughton. That's their starting five.
I see.
All right. That makes me feel slightly better about this memory. I nominated Michael Porter Jr. You nominated Jalen Green. Good luck. That's going to be your nomination for the next month and a half while we continue to debate. Dylan, who you got?
I think I can go the perfect middle ground of those two players, kind of, not really, but also entice Aaron.
Okay.
Oh, you doing Harry Barnes?
I'm doing Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, let's go, dude. I'm all in. I had him a little bit lower just because the ceiling is low. The ceiling's low. And some of these guys could be really good. Harrison Barnes deserves better. That's pretty much what I'll say. He's so perfect for any contending team. He's like 6'9". He plays solid defense. He hits his threes, kind of gets his own shot. He can play the four. He can play the three. And not that he's wasted in Sacramento because he's playing well, but he has real trade value. If people, any team would want him on there.
Yeah, another one of these guys. Like, he has been the number one option on a team in Dallas. Like, did it go great? No, but he could do it. And he's been, you know, the fifth option on a championship team. So a guy that can fit in, or a guy that can just, you know, get you points if you don't care about winning games.
I'm all in. I've been enticed. I've been enticed.
I'll take it. All right. Who's your nomination to replace him?
Staying in vain. Nate, I feel like I can get you on this one. How about Dorian Finney-Smith?
I do like Finney-Smith.
I think Dylan has psychology reports on both of us. He knows exactly. He's just like, dude. Harrison Barnes, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Now that we've introduced the, like, hey, we just need two votes to get this approved, he's like, all right, I just need to convince one other person. Who can I cherry pick? Like, we need to bond together to fight back. I don't hate the Dorian Finney-Smith. You know, incredibly low usage. I'd love to see him develop more. And actually be able to do something with the ball, but I mean,
we've seen him ramp it up a few times. Like, he's had stretches where he's, you know, like, he can put up in the teens if you need a little bit more. But, like, you know, he's an efficient, low volume player who can ramp it up a little bit if needed and plays pretty decent defense.
I think it's just too high.
Yeah,
it's just too high.
Nate, can you find his pre and post All-Star splits?
Absolutely. Let's see here. Pre-All-Star, he's averaging 10 points per game on 56% true shooting. Post-All-Star, 13 points per game on 69.4% true shooting.
Yeah, so, like, he came on a little bit towards the end of the year. Like, put up a little bit more points.
Yeah, he's still just, you know, one thing that they always say with scouting college players, and, like, I've been trying to do more scouting and figuring out what to do, is, like, hey, three-point percentage doesn't translate from college to the NBA. The thing that translates, or at least indicates, is if you're a good free throw shooter. And Finney-Smith on the season shot 67.5% from free throw. So when I see that his post All-Star three-point shooting was 44.5, I feel like it's going to regress. And, like, sure, he's a safer pick than Michael Porter Jr. or Jalen Green, but I like the upside.
upside gang. I'm on the upside. I think I'd rather take Porter Jr.
Okay, before we do that, is Cade still on the board?
No. Cade left.
Okay.
Cade left the country good. A while ago. Cade, Mobley, Barnes.
All right. I didn't have him marked off. That's all right.
Perfect. All right. So if Michael Porter Jr. is coming off the board for me, actually, I had two guys kind of back to back, but I will say Dorian Finney-Smith was my next name.
I'll accept it.
All right. So that just to recap things for a minute, because we've now gone technically 11. No, we've gone 10. Kyle Lowry at 61, Julius Randle 62, Maxey at 63, Anfernee Simons 64, Aaron Gordon 65, Jordan Poole 66, Tyler Hero 67, Harrison Barnes at 68, Michael Porter Jr. 69, and Finney Smith at 70. Guys, this is so nice. We're agreeing.
Only by assist the system you've shackled us with.
Hey, we had to do something.
Yeah. I feel like I can get one that we can all kind of agree on.
Okay.
Can we get Keldon Johnson?
I had Keldon Johnson in this area. He's going to have a bigger role for sure.
Yeah, like he already put up 17 points on above average true shooting. You know, decent defender, can create a shot. Can hit threes. He's just a pretty good all-around player.
I'm sold. I think, you know, at this point, that's what we're looking for. It's
just a semi-consensus a little builder.
Bit. Just, yeah.
Yeah, I'll mark down 71. My one fear with him, I've already got him marked in, and I'm not changing it. This is written in a stone tablet on an Excel file, so real hard to adjust. But my one fear with him is just that the DeJounte Murray breakout season might have opened up some avenues for it to be an easier year for Keldon Johnson. And with Murray gone, I don't know that more opportunity is necessarily a good thing for Johnson, because that also is going to be more defensive focus and a need for a bigger role. So I'm not trying to draft him in fantasy is what I'm saying. I'm playing a little cautious, but I'm not opposed to him here.
You know who you would draft in fantasy?
I penalize missed shots and turnovers. So
just slightly. Points is all that matters. I feel like at this point, do you think we pushed RJ Barrett far back enough? We were talking about him, you know, 10 spots earlier.
Yeah, he technically should be one of I dropped him down, but I'm fine to re-accept him as my nomination.
I could see him as like 22 points a night on a standard Knicks team. That's pretty good.
Do you think Brunson coming there has the same or, you know, decreases his usage? Maybe he takes a step back, or do you think it unlocks
him? I really
him?
Don't think so. I feel like Brunson, the Knicks were a fucking disaster last season. And I feel like I'm being nice when I say that. There's just no point guards, no shot creation. They're relying on like ancient Alec Kemba Burks Walker. Alec Burks or Evan Fournier. It really was a mess, and I think it hurt Randle, and I think in a sense it hurt Barrett. And just having someone to be like, you hold the ball for 2 seconds without doing something stupid really helps basketball teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, taking a step back might actually help him. It's like last year, like, he put up a legit 20 points per game, but he was just, like, pretty inefficient. And, you know, 51% true shooting. So if, like, he can have a slightly lower usage and a little bit more efficiency, and he's like still like a pretty decent defender as well, and is getting better on that end, which is lovely. Maybe the numbers aren't quite as high, but the efficiency is better. And the efficiency is the biggest knock on him. I think looking at last year, like he was 40.8% from the field and 34% from three. That's ugly, but you know, like Aaron said, he didn't have the best cards to deal with.
Sometimes less is more.
I'm fine putting him here at 72 just to get him off the board.
I don't know why I'm arguing for him so strongly when I had him at 106, but that's
Jeez, that's really low.
Dylan, here's the thing. You had him like 10 spots behind Julius Randle, and now he's still 10 spots behind Julius Randle.
That's a good point.
You're telling me that the entire Knicks team doesn't have a single like top 70 player? Like I guess, where would he put Brunson 58?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the best Knick is 58.
Don't worry, they're a system.
How many
team.
Wins do we? How many wins do we think they're getting next season? Like 40, 42,
33.
You guys just bash on bad teams. I have not seen either one of you guys be hopeful one time. Not once. You're like, you don't think I really take a step forward. It's all. It's just like they suck and they'll always suck. I'm like, okay.
Hey, I'm hopeful that the Lakers return to prominence at some point.
There you go.
Come on. I actually need to think about this now. What bad team am I hopeful for next year? I'm actually super excited for the Pistons. I don't think they'll be good, but I'm super excited.
Do you have any non-homer teams? Anything? You're excited for the teams you're biased about. I get it.
I'm just trying to think of a bad team that I expect to be good. And I'm like looking at them like, no, Rockets are going to suck.
It's not all overnight, right? Like there are teams where you know, would like their future.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay, so you were Shea and Chet.
But like looking at the non-playoff teams, I'm like, yeah, Rockets, they're going to suck next year. Thunder, probably still going to suck. You know, they're going to shut everyone down halfway through. Blazers will get better, but I'm not like overly hopeful. Kings might make the playoffs. That's a good thing.
Just might. Spurs, 9 seed.
Spurs want French Duncan. Lakers, not hopeful. I hope, but I'm not hopeful.
They're all in on Russ. They're having dinner together, they're making phone calls. They're calling each other before bed, telling them they love each other and good night.
He's on a new agent today, so.
Yeah.
And his agent is Jeff Schwartz. Not my cousin Jeff Schwartz. Different Jeff Schwartz.
Who else does Jeff have?
I don't know. Basketball Reference doesn't have a list by agent, which I would love to see that list.
Real GM does.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Other teams that I'm just not hopeful for next season, Charlotte.
I think Charlotte's going to be really bad.
Yeah, I think Bridges is going to be a big loss.
I think LaMelo could be like, not just go to fantasy basketball, but what a pick. I take him super high. He's going to be like 45% usage rate on a 20-win Hornets team.
I believe the Pacers are tanking. I don't think the Magic are going to be good. Well, actually, you know what? I'll take the back. I'm semi-hopeful that the Magic make progress this next year.
They're building something. Like 35 wins.
Yeah. I mean, I hate the franchise. We need some nominations. Yeah, let's get some nominations. Let's get back to what we're doing.
Okay.
So we had Keldon Johnson. We had RJ Barrett off the board. Who's got an active nomination right now?
Al Horford.
It's too high.
Way too high.
Way too high. He's like 70,000 years old. He was great, but there's no way he's going to be as good next year.
Who did you have, Aaron? Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, it's all good. Do you want offense or defense? Take your pick.
Just put your guy out there.
How about Josh Giddey?
Yeah.
I love it.
He's hard to rank.
Super talented.
Like he's probably already like a top, I don't know, like borderline top five passer in the NBA, but like his shot is not that good. Although, you know, the Thunder just picked up quite the shooting coach.
That's true.
So maybe that'll get better. He's also like pretty slow on defense and can't finish. Like I think he had like below 40% field goal in summer league. Like that's kind of rough, but he is an awesome passer.
I think he is like 5 years away from playing like real championship impactful basketball. But I mean, to put him in like, so was it 73rd? I think it's about right. Yeah. He's going to play winning basketball. I think he's going to help the Thunder for sure.
Yeah. If he can just like get the three-pointer to fall and then all of a sudden like you've got to respect him and pick and roll, then it's like, then he's a real problem offensively.
I have one nomination ahead of him on my list left, and that is Lonzo Ball.
I had him next. You want to go Giddey then Ball?
Let me make the case for Ball.
Okay.
He's a brilliant passer, just like Giddey. We're probably not going to see the upside swing of him continuing to develop, but where he is right now is an above average to probably pretty good defender. Like I'm not talking all defensive team, but like
he's a positive defender.
Really positive defender. 42% three-point shooter on 7.5 attempts. I mean, if you say Giddy's an A-plus passer, Ball is probably a B-plus passer, but with a really good shot and good defense.
Yeah.
I'm okay going Ball than Giddey. How's that sound for everybody?
Yeah.
All right.
So we're up to 75. Dylan, you sticking with Horford and going to try to make the case, or are you going to change up your nomination?
Can we get a guy that I've always loved, and a lot of like NBA nerds love, but it seems like no NBA GMs do because he's always on the trade block and no one wants to trade for him. But Miles Turner can space the floor, shoot threes. He could fit in with and like make a lot of these awesome players work. Like you put him with Giannis, you put him with Zion, then he like, you know, he amplifies the players around him with his shooting ability. He's one of the best rim protectors in the league. Like he's just a really good player.
I had him just a few spots down. I don't mind it at all.
I had him behind Horford.
You shouldn't have said that. That's something you keep right here. That extended the right, podcast by 45 minutes.
If you want to go Horford and then Turner.
Aaron, Who's your 75?
The step up from Turner. Well, I still have Jalen Green. He keeps getting pushed back. No one's taking him. I had Jay Crowder.
No, you Herb don't.
He's good defensively. Actually, sorry.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Herb Jones.
Yep. I'm good with Herb.
Oh, my
Herb
God.
Jones, check it out. I knew it. I'm just going to start listing defensive wings.
Herb was like one of the best on-ball defenders in the league already as a rookie. He hit a half decent amount of shots. Like, he was a fairly efficient scorer. He had some nice scoring games as well. A defensive playmaker, like not just an on-ball stops guy, but like a guy that will help and get in passing lanes. And I think his jump shot's just going to get better, and he can ramp up his usage to a degree, and already one of the best defenders.
There's really nothing not to love.
All right.
Are we locking him in, 75?
I'm locking him in.
Sounds great.
I do just want to mention my nomination for the spot here was Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Okay. I had him a few spots down, but I love what he does.
Yeah, he's fine. He's a good offensive player. He's not terrible on defense. So, that kind of player is rare at this point in the ranking.
He's a playoff guy.
Yeah, and he had kind of an off year last year with, I don't know, like he got off to a rough start 2 years ago with the coach getting fired and being injured for most of it. And then really, like, it was his reinsertion in the lineup. Like, they waited to fire the coach and Lloyd Pierce, like, until right before he came back and right when they had an easy stretch of games. And then I always thought his emergence was more the reason for the turnaround than the coaching change. But I don't know. I like the fact that he moves the ball and is not a complete zero on defense.
Yeah, like, he's a good offensive player and not a defensive liability, which, like I said, is fairly rare at this range.
I'm sold.
Wait.
You guys love these guys. You guys talk. We talked way more about these guys than the top 10 players. You had way more to say about how good Herb Jones is and like than Curry or something.
Well, I mean, like, once you start getting into that top 10 upper echelon, like, the conversation is not really like, hey, is LeBron going to be better or worse than Kawhi this season? The question is, like, is Kawhi better or worse than John Havlicek in an all-time rank? Like, the top 10 people, it's more fun to have that conversation and look at the embodiment of their careers than it is like, hey, next season, what are they going to be? Whereas here, we've got like these like kind of fun.
I agree. It's way more fun than the top guys.
Like, we put Robert Williams at 55. If you want to tell me the next season Robert Williams doesn't have a good year and Horford is just better than Robert Williams, like, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Happens.
Speaking of Al Horford, we go in there?
I'm ready.
But did we do Bogdan at 76?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Bogdan than Horford.
Yeah, I'd much rather have Horford than... Not much rather, but I do trust Horford over Turner as a playoff performer. I can't figure out why everyone likes and dislikes Turner.
Yeah. I mean, Horford's probably like a more versatile defender. Like, Turner's really good as a rim protector, but is sort of lacking as a post defender and not great on the perimeter. Whereas like Horford is playing the four, like he's defending perimeter players most of the time. He's like really solid in the post. Like, he was the Embiid stopper because he's just hard to move.
He does a great job on
his like good passer, fine shooter still. Like, you got to at least look at him.
Yeah. I mean, he defends Embiid. He also defends Giannis. Like, that's enough versatility for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Horford at 77.
You want to do another round of nominations?
Sure. I think we're ready. Get some fresh names on the board. Unless you really want to stick with Jalen Green. Are you going to accept Jalen Green behind Al Horford?
That's ridiculous, but Al Horford's going to average like 7-7-1. Jalen Green's going to average 30 for a whole month. And you're like,
And Horford's going to win the championship.
That's true. Basketball is a tough sport. I pick and choose around here because I'm like, all right, I'm trying to feel out where we're thinking. You know, I think Miles Turner at this spot's pretty good, although it's weird. He's seemingly very valuable, but no one wants him.
Yeah. And that's like one of the things is like NBA front offices. As much as they like make some like, you know, for sure make some questionable moves, like I'm sure like as a totality, they are incredibly smart. Like, they know a lot more and have access to just a lot more stuff than we do. And the fact that no one is willing to trade for this guy, you know, David Griffin, where, you know, the entire fandom is saying like, trade for Miles Turner. He's literally perfect to put next to Zion and he's not interested. Like, they probably know something that we don't.
The Lakers will give up Russell Westbrook and one first-round pick for him and Buddy Hield.
And Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
There's no more Lakers handouts. This isn't Pau Gasol. You can't just ask for favors anymore.
Hey, we gave him Mark.
You didn't give him shit. Mark was 450 pounds when you traded him. He had no idea what he was gonna be.
Oh my god.
All right. I am okay with Miles Turner here. I think he's one of the last like upside guys.
You're out with that night?
I have two names that I really feel somewhat passionately over Turner.
Let's hear it.
The first name is Gary Trent Jr.
He was going to actually like one of my next guys.
Like Gary Trent Jr., high volume on offense, and a really staunch, stout defender. You know, we're talking 1.7 steals, but like he's a brick. I want to say he's like top five in charges taken last season. Really, really is a pest and gets in the way. And we have seen him kind of scale up his scoring or scale down based on needs and like a half of Toronto being out for different points last season. I think he would be the fifth Raptor. OG, Pascal, Scotty, Fred VanVleet. But I just think that starting five is a really good group. And I think part of that is that Trent can do a lot, even when they're small.
Yeah, just checking. Scotty's off the board, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Good.
Yeah. And then my other name that I would like to have above Turner is a proven playoff defender, and that is Kevon Looney.
Wow. No.
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 No. What?
I don't know.
I didn't expect that. No.
I'm done with like the 10th guy on a finals team who averages 3 points. You're like, no, he's really good. I promise. You're like, yeah, like, you know, if a championship caliber team is around them, that's really, really effective. But I'm 1 second away from hearing that Wiseman is a really good cheerleader on the bench and he should be in the top 60.
Man, wait till you hear my Kuminga takes. We're projecting for next year, right? He's gonna be better.
Yeah, that's true. I actually did. Okay, let's do Gary Trent Jr. because he was right there for me. What do you think, Dylan?
Yeah, I've got him a lot lower, but that's fine. I think he's like an inefficient scorer who's like okay defensively, but
we're just, you know, breaking Dylan's heart.
Not versatile. It's fine. Lock in Gary Trent.
Sounds good.
Then we'll lock in Turner.
Halliburton's off the board, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't mark down a lot of these. Can I now bring back a guy from a previous episode? Since we just took Gary Trent off the board, how about another good offensive guard who's not terrible defensively and get Spencer Dinwiddie in here? He's sort of the last of the like starting caliber point guards that are available.
I thought you were going to say D'Angelo Russell when you said a good point guard that's bad or not terrible defensively.
I had Reggie Jackson just a few spots above him. That's my two cents. I feel like they're fairly similar.
I think Dinwiddie's got a lot of upside going into next year. You know, he's going to just step into the Brunson role and yeah.
He's big. It's, you know, you can't just go through him. He can run a pick and roll. He's been inconsistent with the jump shot, but once he got to Dallas, like, it really fell. You know, once he was able to get some easier shots. Like, what's underrated about Dinwiddie is, like, even going back to, like, Brooklyn, where he was, like, you know, always being a mediocre shooter, like, he takes a lot of pull-ups, and he's just not good at pull-ups, but, like, his spot-ups have always gone down at a pretty good rate. And playing with another good player means more spot-ups, and that's why his shooting went from 34% to 40% on the same volume and in about the, you know, similar amount of games.
I think I like it. I think, you know, he's going to have a bigger role with Brunson gone. If he can step into that, then yeah, he earns this spot. There's a world where he just sucks and he's not even top 100. But I think you can convince me that Dinwiddie's going to have a really good year.
With other star players on the team, like, he's a guy that could start on a contender.
Yeah.
Like, if Dallas didn't have all this crap on their roster that they could, like, bring in, like, one more good guy, like, they'd be a really good team and he'd be perfectly good as the starting point guard.
Are you trying to tell me Christian Wood is not that guy?
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about Christian Wood.
Yeah, because we're not ranking the 200s yet.
It's like Sabonis on steroids for you.
Oh, yeah. Christian Wood is way worse than... Oh, I guess he's not way worse, but he's definitely worse than Sabonis.
And
I
was Sabonis in, like,
the... Where did I have Sabonis? Domantas Sabonis.
Sabonis at least passes and can get a team to the playoffs in the East.
Exactly.
I think the best, like, a Christian Wood-led team wins, like, 7 games.
Yeah. Which is sad, because I was so high on Christian Wood in, like, Detroit when he was playing behind Andre Drummond, and I was like, no, get this guy on the fucking floor. I wrote a song advocating for Christian Wood. That's how committed I was.
Wow. That's wild.
Christian Wood started 12 games during his Detroit tenure on a team that won 20 games.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. The idea of Christian Wood is like the perfect NBA center for today's game. You're like, oh, he's kind of switchable and he plays defense and he can shoot the three and get his own shot, but he's not doing any of that shit consistently.
Yeah. He's like, he can do all of this stuff, but he actually like can't.
One time.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what do we
On the GOAT podcast, the greatest of all talk, which is just, it's great that they named themselves the GOAT podcast, because like, you know, when you introduce something with On the GOAT podcast, it really makes it sound like it's a good podcast, or it's a podcast done by goats. But they were discussing the biggest difference between a player's highlights and his actual performance. And they're like, if you just watch Christian Wood highlights,
yeah,
this guy is fantastic. And you're like thinking top 30. And if you watch low lights, you're like, oh my God, why is this guy?
He doesn't fucking try. He just doesn't try. Okay, we have to get an 80th player in. We have to figure somebody.
Gary Trent Jr. was 80. We locked him in.
Who am I missing?
Can you break down? 79?
Yeah, I have that. Who's 78?
Oh, you know what? I snuck in Dylan Brooks and just didn't tell anyone. I'll correct that.
No, but Dylan Brooks is my next guy. Can he be number 80?
I would actually like to recant something and give you... give you something. The more I look at Gary Trent Jr., I just can't put him above Jalen Green.
Let's go, dude. Let's go. That's what I'm talking about, Nate.
Just the potential for the upside.
Right. Do we want to go Green, Trent, Dinwiddie, and then who's the other guy you said? Dylan Brooks?
That sounds fantastic. Run that by us one more time.
Jalen Green, Gary Trent, Spencer Dinwiddie, Dylan Brooks.
I got it written down now.
Well
it
done,
has
guys.
Been locked in stone in a spreadsheet, which shan't be changed. Except for I realized I put the wrong numbers on them. So now I'm changing them slightly just by one. Kuzma, get out of here. All right. Let's get some fresh names in here.
I have two centers that have kind of been sitting on top of my list for a while. Centers are so strange because of the way the game is played today. I think you still need them, but so often they just aren't on the floor. I have Vucevic and Valanciunas. I think they're valuable. I don't. In a sense, when they come playoff time, the Bulls needed Vucevic for Giannis, but the Grizzlies really didn't need the Grizzlies. What am I talking about? The Pelicans. He's on the Pelicans. I'm years behind. Right? Am I losing my mind? What team does Jonas Valanciunas play for?
Pull the Pelicans.
The Pelicans. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Valanciunas had 30 offensive rebounds against Phoenix. He was crazy. That's my case. 30 offensive rebounds. That's why the Pelicans were in that series, because they just dominated inside, and Valanciunas is a huge part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a notorious hater of centers, just because obviously, you know, I think I value guys who can be on the floor in like playoff games and in like fourth quarters, you know, more than guys who help you win, you know, regular season games or regular season first quarters. But Valanciunas is still a guy that I had in my top 90.
He must be the best center in the league. It's in Dylan's top 90.
I had him one spot behind DeMontis Sabonis, and a little bit ahead of Brooke Lopez and Kevon Looney.
Okay. It's like a novelty almost.
Yeah. I feel like there are some forwards that I want to get off the board first. Some guys that you could play as the center and actually be better, but you just don't want to do it for a full season. Like you mentioned Jay Crowder. Can we get back into Jay Crowder?
Yeah. He's the third guy behind those two for me, so I'm all in.
Oh, my gosh.
He hates Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder, when he looks bad, looks really bad. But you, at the same time, like Dylan always says, like, you need guys like that. Every single team would want Jay Crowder.
Yeah. You're constructing a closing five. You're taking Jay Crowder as your center over Jonas Valanciunas or...
Okay. As a center, yes. But I think there's a much better player that does in large part what Jay Crowder does. Maybe not fully.
What are you thinking?
I'm intrigued.
Alex Caruso, the bald Mamba.
I'd probably take like Kuzma eagle. Before. It's crickets. I hear the crickets.
Okay.
He's in this range, like he's in the next 10 spots, but that's a hard sell.
Just that forward defenders are more valuable than guard defenders. Like the league is
Clark.
Off that. I'm gonna stop Nate there. I know I said I had to go at 4:30, but I'm good until like 5 or something. So keep it rolling.
Okay.
He's like, now that you mentioned Brandon Clark, I'm fucking staying.
I'm in. I got another 45 minutes.
All right, Nate, you're not feeling Crowder.
Do Franz any Wagner?
I'll give you my next guys after Crowder: PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, Cameron Johnson, and Franz Wagner. Do you like any of those guys more? Cam Johnson's pretty good. Or
no,
Wagner
Cam
as well.
Not good.
You like Cameron Johnson? Only watch the last game of the season for the Suns? Have you just been watching Suns Mavs on repeat? Like, these guys are all fucking horrible.
Cameron Johnson averaged 12.5 points on 63% true shooting, and he's he is older than I thought, disappointingly, but he's still 25. He's going to be getting better. He's forward-sized, versatile, can run in transition, can shoot.
Every team would want him. I'm sold. Cam Johnson.
God, are you guys...
do you prefer Wagner, Nate?
Oh, I prefer Valanciunas.
Oh, man.
Dylan's just fuming. Don't say that.
Okay, we need to narrow these down to just one selections from each of us. That's that way we can do the vote. We've broken free from the system and chaos has reigned.
All right, back into the system. We'll get back into it.
The reason for breaking free is that, like, I don't just want like two guys agreeing and then one guy vehemently disagreeing. So like me and Aaron strongly agree, or you know, we roughly agree, but then you absolutely hate the pick, then like I don't want to just lock it in.
That's fair, and I appreciate your courtesy.
That's how this takes 6 hours to finish. Yeah. That's how we have to. There's some. It's a compromise in time and in effectiveness.
All right. So Dylan Brooks is at 82. Who on our list?
82.
Nate, why don't you give us like your next five, and we'll see if we like any of those guys.
I'll be honest. In this range, like, any of these guys are probably fine. Some of these guys have like real upside, and some of these guys have played championship winning basketball. Like, what has Jay Crowder ever won? No. Alex Caruso has. And Alex Caruso, when he was healthy.
Oh my God.
Like, he was in the defensive player of the year. He was in the defensive player of the year conversation.
No, he was not. No serious
person. Yes, he
person. Was. Yeah, as like the seventh guy you just tossed in there for fun. That's, you know, just because you were having the conversation doesn't mean it was a good one.
It was a great conversation.
I have a warrior to nominate. This will be my nomination. Gary Payton.
I mean, he's pretty similar to Alex Caruso.
Yeah. You can't pick on Caruso and then put in Gary Payton.
I feel like...
Actually, eerily similar.
I feel like Payton's going to have just a bigger responsibility in Portland. I feel like he'd be really impactful on a team has struggled to play defense in the past.
Like, the thing with Payton he's a very hard pick.
Yeah. I thought, like, I had you guys on the Warriors. I had another Warrior that just won the title. What happened? You guys lost the energy or something? Or no, I look stupid.
I mean, I am interested in one guy that Dylan said earlier, which is Franz Wagner. Just the potential upside.
That sounds great to me. I'm all in.
All right. Locked at 83. Franz Wagner. Now back to the debates. How we all feel about Kyle Kuzma?
I like it. I thought he was... I feel like he's someone who can totally play a winning brand of basketball. He has with the Lakers. I thought he was, in a sense, a bright spot on just a disaster of a Washington season. And he'll probably be another bright spot on another disaster of a Washington season this season.
That was my one kind of like fear with him, was like, is this year just going to be another disaster? And he's like, I mean, sometimes, you know, a sinking boat is just a sinking boat. And if you're on it, you're going to look worse.
What are you thinking about Kuzma, Dylan?
I had him a little bit lower, but he's fairly good. Like, he's reasonably efficient scorer. He actually gets a lot of rebounds, which is funny.
Yeah, he does. He's like 20 and 10.
He's on that Russell Westbrook train of just like grabbing all the defensive rebounds. Like, if you look at his offensive rebounds, which is sort of like a good indication of how good he actually is at rebounding, he basically averages one a game for his whole career. And then if you look at his total rebounds, his 19-20, he put up 4.5 rebounds. And then last year, he was at 8.5. So like, he just grabs all the defensive rebounds. But the assist numbers are good too. Like, he can handle, he can defend fairly well when he wants to as well. Like that last year in LA when he wasn't getting the ball, he's like, fine, I'll just play defense. It's like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He ended the season in March averaging 6 assists per game. He really kind of became point Kuzma. You know, I mean, I'd much rather have him than Cam Johnson.
I think I agree. 85 for Kuzma is good for me.
Wait, that's 84.
Goddamn.
Oh, God. Sorry. No, that's right. 84.
All right. Does anyone have someone they feel really passionate about for 85?
I think passionate is not a really good word to describe this tier of NBA player.
Hey, I'm very passionate about we're getting down to all of the two-way forwards.
Yeah, we are.
Can I just say, no one's even passingly mentioned Tobias Harris.
We can keep it that way. You didn't have to say that.
I got him a little bit lower. So I got a couple guards, which I don't know if you guys will like, Malcolm Brogdon and Derek White. Then I got all of my two-way forwards, and then I got Tobias Harris and John Collins.
I had Malcolm Brogdon right in this range before we jumped on this call. I had him in this range, and I dropped him down. Just that injury history. Yeah, and now he's never healthy. Role. Yeah, because I was looking at him versus Derek White, and I'm like, I think he's behind Derek White in the rotation.
Did we ever rank John Collins?
We never ranked John Collins.
I feel like that's a mistake.
It's
Dylan, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
I mean, Collins is in that same Christian Wood camp where there's a good chance that they average 20 points per game. There's a good chance those were some of the emptiest 20 points per game and like meaningless defensive numbers. I wouldn't mind putting both of them here as just like a nod to their production and going like Wood then Collins. Just get them off the board, but I'm not excited when I see their names.
Yeah.
Dylan, do we have the approval to put them here as just a nod to their production?
I feel like I'd put Collins above Wood.
Really?
I feel like, John Collins was really good in that Hawks run. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals. He was a part of that. That's undeniable, like playoff basketball that he was effective in. It's not the strongest Hawks team. It is a fluke in a sense, but I'd rather someone have a fluke than not do it at all.
That's fair. I was just thinking about next year, who's going to kind of be a little bit more set up for success. And I like the chances of Wood being set up for success being next to Luka more than Collins, who we've already kind of seen how well he plays with Trae Young.
Yeah. I'm okay with John Collins, 85. What do you think, Don? Do you have him like 150th or something?
I actually have him at 85.
Really? Oh, yeah. I know nothing. I don't know anything anymore.
It's just that you've picked a lot of my lower guys.
Oh,
so I've
gotcha.
Got like a bunch of guys ahead of him still that haven't come off.
Who's the number one guy on your board?
Brogdon. Yeah. I see the argument against.
Yeah, it's really just an injury thing. Because like healthy Brogdon, I'd stick right there. But I'm okay with Brogdon.
Yeah,
I'm okay with Brogdon.
Two guy.
Yeah, good question.
Derek White.
Is the rest of the Celtics roster after that?
No, that's Jay Crowder, PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, Cam Johnson.
Okay. I'm okay.
I don't like any of those names.
Can I throw a name out there? How about Lu Dort on the Thunder? He was great last season. It's a bad Thunder team, but he was playing really well.
I mean, very inefficient scorer. And I mean, like the one thing he does really well is play good one-on-one lockdown defense.
Yeah. And I'm glad you make that distinction. Like a lot of people think that he's an awesome defensive player, but like in one particular aspect of guarding ISO, guarding one-on-one, then he's like one of the best defenders in the league. But overall, like he's, you know, probably, you know, not a lot better than Derek White, who's a more efficient scorer and better ball handler.
Okay. I'm okay with Derek White at 85. I think, you know, he's really important to the Celtics. He can handle the ball. He can shoot. He can defend. I think he can do more things well than a lot of these guys we're talking about, like Cam Johnson or something, where it's just shoot and defend. More versatile than just a regular 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I feel like there's a lot of Christian Wood upside. And like we already discussed the fact that he could just look terrible. But if he can figure out defense or figure out trying, like he actually is a solidly decent rim protector when he wants to be.
If you have to say when he wants to be, it doesn't matter to me. It's just, you know, it's not good enough. I think there's equal chances that he's insanely good and the Mavs win 60 games to he's awful, has a shitty attitude, and just wastes an entire year of Luka's prime with his shitty attitude, and they don't have a center. I think that's another chance. And if those are both equal in my mind, I'm really not interested.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Their center is JaVale McGee.
Oh yeah, they're going to be a disaster. I fucking hate their off season.
You really hate, you hate their off season.
Yeah,
you love Spencer Dinwiddie.
I love Dylan's take so much. He's just because I really feel like that's great. I mean, because I feel like I like they didn't really give up anything for Christian Wood, and so I didn't hate the trade.
Yeah, but they brought in like two backup centers, and they're going to play them at the starting four and five.
Yeah,
and then they lost their second best player and got absolutely nothing back.
That's fucking awesome. I love the take. Yeah. Fuck the Mavs, they're winning 40 games.
Damn.
My goodness. Okay.
What if we go back to Valanciunas?
Great idea. He's still the second guy on my board. I had Vucevic above him. There was a brief stretch. Sorry, really. There was a brief stretch in that in the playoffs in that first round versus Milwaukee where Valanciunas was the sole contributor to the Bulls' offense when it just got stagnant, and his ability to stretch the floor and guard the rim is valuable.
Yeah, I feel like Valanciunas is like right on the precipice of like, you know, like there are some centers who you just can't play in the fourth quarter, like they're going to be off the floor no matter what. I feel like he's right on like that borderline of like, this guy actually could close some games for you because he can shoot it well enough. He's a reasonable defender. He's like a really good pick and roll player. You know, he's right on that borderline of maybe you don't actually have to, you know, take him out when you're trying to win games. I mean, I'd rather have like guys that you put in ahead of him. You know, like you're going to sub Jay Crowder or Robert Covington in ahead of Valanciunas to close games, but you know.
I'm still cracking up over that, the Mavs stuff. I can't, it's just that's hilarious. I agree. It's almost, it depends on the matchup. And I feel like there are guys that are here that it doesn't depend on the matchup and no matter who's out there. How about someone that Nate mentioned if we want to go to Caruso? Because I feel like he's one of those guys.
I feel like he's worse offensively and defensively than Jay Crowder, PJ Tucker, Robert Covington.
I still have Jay Crowder saved as the 86th. I just move him down with each one.
Like all those guys can shoot threes. Like Caruso is a really inconsistent shooter. All those guys can defend forwards. Like Caruso can only really defend guards very well. More of an off-ball player as well. Like it's pretty close to Covington, but Covington can shoot and can switch.
Caruso did a great job on Durant in several games near the end of the year.
Dylan's unimpressed.
Oh yeah, like yeah, he definitely can defend up, but like if we're drafting Durant defenders, we're taking PJ Tucker and Jay Crowder ahead of them. Even though both of those guys, you know, get torched, like they're your best hope.
I'm all in on Jay Crowder. He's one of the better 3-and-D players like in the league. Like this is important.
Yeah. I mean, 35% from three.
Good defense.
That's really the 3-and-D level.
He takes tough ones. He takes above the break threes as well. His gravity is a lot more than other 35% 3-point shooters because they guard him no matter where he is on the floor.
Why?
A lot of these like PJ Tucker guys, like they just sit in the corner, whereas Jay Crowder can actually bomb from up top.
Good point.
Yeah. I don't know. Guys that play with Chris Paul usually have shots made easier for them. Like how many guys has Chris Paul made, you know, made a living, made their lives so much easier? And you want to tell me that Jay Crowder has a hard time and has to take difficult shots playing with Chris Paul? Like is that really what we're saying?
Well that's his role, is if he's, you know, gets the ball and he's remotely open, like he has to shoot it no matter what. And that keeps the defense guarding him and opens up the floor for Devin Booker and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton.
You're outnumbered, Nate. You can't stop it. It's an inevitable wave of Jay Crowder fandom.
All right. I'll accept him.
All right, I'm closing the gap. I don't even have to type his name in. He's been waiting since the 80s.
I want the record to show. Not happy. Can we just put in Valanciunas at 87 then, and to get a couple of more names that we've discussed heavily off the board?
Sounds great.
Yep. He ironically is my number 87 on my personal 100 as well.
Nice. What about Wood and Collins? Just get names off the board.
I don't like them. I like John Collins. Don't like Christian Wood. We can do John Collins, but not Christian Wood. I'm not into it.
Yeah,
what do you think, Dylan?
I'm not there on Christian Wood. John Collins, I could kind of see. But then you've got to have Tobias Harris right there as well. Like those guys are like similar level of player. I might even prefer Tobias because he can shoot threes better.
Jeez.
Mr. Invisible. Okay, we're not putting either of them on there because I won't get there with I will not get there with Tobias Harris. Although I do kind of wonder if Tobias is still top 100. I mean, just the level of production kind of feels like he should be there.
I have a name to mention. I think I feel like we should have said before. Just okay. An elite 3-point shooter. Last season, 15 points, 3.5 assists, 3 rebounds on 1 second, 61% true shooting. It's Seth Curry. I thought he was a fantastic offensive option in Philly. In Brooklyn, he was hurt. I think if he was on the Sixers still, I mean, he fits in so well. It's too bad they had to trade him in that, but I think he's a really good player. The 3-point shooting is elite. They can really create for himself at times.
I think when we get down to the Seth Curry range, we're talking about one-way players, and this is where I got to start siding more and more with Dylan, is if we're talking like a one-way, you know, shooter versus a one-way defensive wing, like a Patrick Williams or a DeAndre Hunter, I would lean with those two over a Seth Curry.
Okay, that's all right. I mean, I get it.
All right, I'm going to reach for this guy. I've actually got him lower, but how about a guy that...
If you say Caris LeVert...
No.
Can I throw out a Seth Curry stat line really quickly while you find that guy?
Yeah.
2021 Eastern Conference Semis versus Atlanta when the Sixers just blew it. 21 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists on 61-59, 66 splits. Kind of interesting splits, but just a sniper from three. 52 or 31 for 52 from deep that series. It's pretty good.
It is, but I mean, shooting is just, it's a commodity you can find.
Mm.
Yeah.
He is, yeah. I don't have him too much lower. How about a versatile forward? Can play the four, can play the three, can play a small ball five. Not an amazing defender, but strong. He can hold up against most forward opponents and even some fives. A good shooter, has multiple seasons over 40% from three, can create a mid-range shot, a little bit of a ball handle. Has put up numbers, high scoring numbers, as a primary option on a bad team, and will sacrifice his role to help a championship team.
Is this Marcus Morris?
It's Marcus Morris.
I know my Marcus Morris lore. We're just huge Marcus Morris fans on the pod. You can just describe him, and I'm like, yeah, it's Marcus Morris.
It's hard because people hate him off, like, as a person, but like the dude can shoot. He can dribble. He's got a nice little mid-range turnaround if you want to just like let him ISO against a smaller player. He's big and strong, so he can hold up defensively. He can switch. He unlocks that for you. He can play multiple positions.
I'm all in. You could argue him over Crowder. And if that's the conversation, then I feel like 88th is fair.
And like if you want a guy that can put up buckets on a bad team, like he averaged 20 for the Knicks.
That's true. I went to a Kings game where he was the number one option and they beat us. I watched that happen. We were up by like 20 at half and Marcus Morris led a comeback. It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
Marcus Morris ranked 15th in win shares per 48 minutes on the Clippers last season.
Yeah, some of his on-off numbers are really bad.
Like just on the Clippers?
Just on the Clippers.
He goes out for Batum. And Batum is like our one guy that can move the ball. I know it's going to be harder to sell you guys on Batum, but...
I was about to say I would rather have Batum.
All right, let's get Batum in here.
I'm okay with that.
Everything I just said about Marcus Morris, except slightly lower volume scorer, still shoots over 40% from three, a much better passer than Morris. Like, low-key underrated. Like, this guy's one of the best passing forwards in the NBA. Has some good on-ball defense, defended even like Jokic fairly well, and is a really smart help defender.
Batum is such a strange positions. Player.
Yeah.
Like I remember when he was... Go ahead.
No, yeah, I think we're going to say the same thing. Like, this guy used to be like a high-scoring option, and he's just totally sacrificed, and, you know, all he does is pass and shoot open threes and, you know, be one of the best help defenders in the league.
He played 5 seasons for Charlotte. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I feel like he was there for like 6 months.
he is the reason that my conspiracy theory of why Pippen and Jordan hate each other now is Nicole Batum.
Oh, because Jordan gave Batum more money than
Pippen ever made in his career. Yeah.
It was a good signing at the time. Like, it kind of made sense for what Charlotte needed. And the stats are all right, but he just wasn't a very good player.
Well, there were comments around the time of him being like, oh, yeah, he can score. He can pass. He is like a – if you play defense, he's like a Scottie Pippen type. And then Jordan's like, this is the guy.
This is the guy. It's interesting. It kind of goes to that theory of that kind of less is more with RJ Barrett. Where taking a step back and like what you're trying to do actually makes you more effective. How about the Norm Powell over Batum, another Clipper?
I've been trying to think who I think will get the third rung for the Clippers. Because I mean, with Kawhi and PG back, like they're going to get the major play. And I do really like the idea of Norm Powell, although I think he probably moves to the bench and becomes like their Tyrese Maxey as like a high scorer off the bench that doesn't do as much. I have Norm Powell right in this range. I'm totally cool with Norm Powell.
What do you think, Dylan? I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, like Powell will play more in the regular season. Like
that was such a passive aggressive. I can tell you don't like it.
Well, I think it's the Jordan Poole. And like you need that guy that's going to be the offensive force to give Curry the night off, to give Kawhi the night off. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sure. You get to the, you know, game six of the NBA finals and he gets like 13 minutes because the guy's not taking the night off anymore. Yeah. But that's still, I think the value of a pool is greater.
And Norm Powell's like just as good as Gary Trent, who we had way higher.
Yeah. The regular season is important. Like you do have to play regular season games to get into the playoffs. So there's something there.
Yeah. All right. Let's get two more guys. And then my wife asked me to cook some rice. So I don't know what that means, but I'm going to have to cook some rice in a few minutes.
Okay. Or we're going to stop at 90 or?
You don't have a rice cooker?
Yeah, we'll stop at 90.
Okay.
No, we got a rice cooker. I just don't know why I need to make rice.
Wait, when the wife asks you to make rice, you got to drop everything and make rice.
Yeah.
Are we cool with Norm Powell?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So he's 88.
Same sort of range.
He's 88. Oh, sorry. I had Nick Batum locked in.
We can do that too if you want.
How about Vucevic at this stage? I think of all these guys, he's going to have the biggest responsibility, and he'll play well. I mean, he has the numbers has the numbers on the bad teams, like Dylan loves, and you know the responsibility gets smaller on better teams, but he's still effective.
Like he kind of fell off offensively last season, and he's only getting older.
He did fall off offensively. He statistically took a rise defensively. And part of that's just like having guard defenders that stop every single person from getting penetration. But the thing that I really liked about Vu is he moved the offense. You don't see it that much. Like he's only 3.2 assists, but the offense flowed through him and he could like kind of kick and move it around. And usually his was the pass that led to the pass that got the bucket. But like he's got a lot of ball stoppers on his team and, you know, he kept it going.
I'm all in.
All right, that leaves us just one spot left for the top 90.
Derek White. Not too bad.
Yeah.
I thought we had him already.
No. Oh, yeah, we do. We've got him at 85.
There
we
go. God damn it. That's why it's not too bad.
Yeah, you're like, that seems perfectly reasonable. I'd go five spots higher for that guy.
Yeah.
How about DeAndre Hunter? Little 3-and-D action.
I feel like there are guys that are better than him at that. Like,
sounds good. Who are they? We can put it.
Morris, PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, Cam Johnson, KCP. Can we get some KCP love?
Oh yeah, I'm okay with some KCP.
Gordon Hayward, he's injured all the time, but yeah, like, Gordon Hayward's still a good player.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah,
I have him at a little bit lower, but he's there.
Yeah, Porzingis is a guy that I like. When I did my initial list, I actually had a lot higher, and then I've just been sort of like skipping over him, but. Mm-hmm. Kristaps is technically my next highest rated guy. Like he is slow, but he does protect the rim and he's, you know, got some offensive ability.
I'm locking him in.
He's just always injured as well.
Kristaps for 90?
Kristaps for 90.
Sounds great.
Which is about how many games he's played in the last 3 years.
You didn't have to say it. It's like the 7%. You didn't have to say it.
On the next pod, we will spend 2 hours deciding if Russell Westbrook is in the top 100 or not.
Oh my God.
Names we've got left, Westbrook, D'Angelo Russell, Tobias Harris. Will they make it or will we choose Jakob Poeltl?
I have Jakob above all of those guys.
Yeah, me too.
Guys,
that's not how you do a
teaser.
Tune in next week to see if Russell Westbrook is rated above Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
He's not
or
going
D'Angelo
to
be. Russell rank be. Above okay, Maxi Kleber.
Maybe. There you go.
All right.
That's hilarious.
Aaron, Mike, plug your stuff.
You can find me Possible Chairs on TikTok. I make like basketball stuff, basketball graphs, basketball rankings. I talk about basketball and football sometimes.
And Kanye West.
And Kanye West very occasionally.
Dylan, plug your stuff.
I'm in the comments of Possible Chairs on TikTok.
And I run the Hoops Temple podcast, TikTok, Twitter. I haven't tweeted in forever. I haven't posted things on Facebook, but check us out. Find us wherever you can find us.
Check them out.